to you in the inside as well. And you hold on to the good things that you know you can see in the Word. They're witnesses of what the Holy Spirit's revealed to you. And anything you're not sure about, just put it on, park it on the shelf and ask God for further understanding. Anything that you think is against what God has revealed you in the Word, it's like spitting the pips out when you eat an apple. Spit out the pips. So, you know, that applies to this book. The guys who wrote it have got some really good revelation on the fivefold ministry gifts. But really, as we go through it, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit saying, what is he saying to us? So we're on the second week of this course. If you were here last week, you'll understand why it's called the Permanent Revolution. You weren't here. Yeah, some of us weren't here last Sunday. So Jesus was a revolutionary. We looked at how he operated in all fivefold ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, and he was a real revolutionary. And if you look at history, since Jesus rose from the dead, it is Christians, it's believers in Jesus Christ, who have produced revolutionary change for good all around the planet. I think it was 200 years since Karl Marx was born this week, and some people are really celebrating. I read something that it's reckoned about 96 million people have been killed as a result of implementation of Marx's policies. So there's lots of revolutions that go on in the world, but what we can say is Jesus' revolution was only been good. Okay. Now you get people pretending to do what Jesus said, building crazy empires of their own in the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, do I know." You know. It's a case of whether we do what Jesus says. I think what we can say is everyone who's done what Jesus has told them to since he rose from the dead has had a positive revolutionary impact on mankind. Amen. So to this week's session, we're looking at the connection between the way God created us and these fivefold ministry gifts. Okay? So let's read together. Because it's great when we get scriptures up on the screen. You don't just have to listen to me reading. Let's read together these verses from Ephesians chapter 4. These are in the New King James Version. So let's read. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And last week we looked at the verses that followed on from that. And this whole six-week series we're going to look at is through these verses in Ephesians chapter 4. So today we're zooming in on these verses where it says Jesus ascended on high and he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That bit in quote marks is quoted from Psalm 68, which we'll look at in a bit more detail. As we've done the last couple of weeks, I'm going to talk for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll get into some small groups, and we've got some questions for us to dig a bit deeper together with what we're looking at. So, Paul is really wanting us to focus on what happened when Jesus ascended. He's talking about his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven. He refers to Jesus first descending to the lower parts of the earth. One interpretation of that is the incarnation, that Jesus, who is God, has always been God, has always existed. He came and was conceived in Mary's womb through the Holy Spirit and was born as a little baby, just like all we've been born as a little baby. So that was a real descent for Jesus to come down and become a little baby. And I can also see in Scripture, particularly in Psalm 22, where it's talking prophetically about Jesus descending into Hades between the time when he died and when he rose again. But that's not really the focus we're going to look on today. It's what happened after he rose from the dead. It says he led captivity captive. And what that says to me is that, you know, what was the captivity? Well, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were created free. When God said to them, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, dying you will surely die. Again, the word death was used twice there in Genesis. And so it refers to two kinds of death. In the Bible, death does not mean the end of something. It means separation. So what happened immediately to Adam and Eve is their spirits were separated from the presence of God. That happened immediately. And they lived, I don't know, 800, 900 years more before their bodies took that long. I think Andrew Womack teaches on this. It took that long for them, their bodies to learn to actually completely pack up. There was so much of God's residual health and presence left with them because they were created to live forever. And so really, since that point, all of mankind was captive to sin, to Satan. In Ephesians 2, a few chapters before this, it talks about the God of this world who is at work in the sons of disobedience. So people who aren't obeying Jesus Christ, aren't believing in him, aren't putting their trust in his finished work, Satan can use them to do horrible things. You know, knife crime is very common now in our country. And that's just evil spirits just interfering with people's minds and causing them to stab people. Jesus led captivity captive. So Jesus took the captured the captives and set them free. It's really talking about Jesus liberating, really, everyone who'd been taken captive since the time of Adam. And so the giving of the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors and teachers is connected with Jesus setting people free through his resurrection. So just a little summary here. Is this turned up too high? Is this a bit too loud? No. After his resurrection, Jesus set free everyone who believed and had been captured by sin and Satan since creation. So I believe, you know, people like Abraham and the saints of the Old Testament who believed, I believe Jesus rescued them from a special area in Hades and took them with him up to heaven. And also, those of us that have been born since Jesus' resurrection and believe in him, we're free from sin. His giving of people, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers as gifts is a result of this liberation. And so we can see from these points that you and I are set free to be now the people that God originally designed and created us to be. And so we want to connect these fivefold ministry gifts with the way God originally created us. That's the theme of this week's session. Let's look at these very well-known verses in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. Let's read these. This is the NIV version. Let's read together. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, I think the New Living Translation translates verse 10, we are God's masterpiece, which I think is a great translation. Just tell the person nearest to you, you're God's masterpiece. I know someone who I regularly have conversations with them and they say, if I tell them this, no, I'm not. But, you know, some people struggle to believe that, but this is what God's saying. And so obviously we know, I'll get a bit ahead. Jesus takes what is already present within us and redeems it, realigning it for his own purposes, giving us a new direction and significance. So we know that God's creation in the beginning was good. And let's look at this next verse. This is New Living Translation, Psalm 139. Wonderful Psalm 139, isn't it? Talking about how God knit us together. Let's read this together, New Living Translation, verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So you know, let's all see if we can read the whole of Psalm 139 this week together, just because it's such a wonderful psalm. But what you can see there is God, when God created us in our mother's womb, he knew how he wanted to gift us spiritually through Jesus' gifts. And he chose really what they would be. Now, until we come to faith in Christ, as it said in the bottom of this slide, we can basically use our gifts for our own selfish purposes. People with apostolic gifts spiritually, before they come to faith in Christ, the way God's put them together and created them, they'll probably be entrepreneurial. They'll probably be people like Richard Branson or guys like that. People who have God's original purpose when he created them in their mother's womb to be prophetically gifted may well be politicians, Jeremy Corbyn, or you know, some of these guys that are really passionate for justice, social justice and things like that. And what happens when we come to faith in Christ is Jesus sets us free from all the demonic mess that entangles us, from all the self-centeredness, and then the way he's made us and created us to be can flourish in the supernatural kingdom and in his church. So that was a lot of the theme of the studies this week in week two in the book. And this is a good diagram. I've taken this from the book. Psalm 68. I can probably, if I just read the page from it, because they put it better than I can. This bit was new to me when I read this. So if you read Psalm 68, it says, the chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. So that's Psalm 68, verses 16 to 20. I'm reading from page 39 in the course book where that's quoted. And that's a great little diagram there, because in King David's era, when a warrior returned from battle as a victor, they celebrated their victory by marching through the city in a parade. The captives taken in battle would often follow behind the victor in his parade as a way of visualizing the victory. The parade started at the edge of the town and moved towards the king's palace, where the warrior would receive gifts for his brave, valiant efforts. And that diagram there depicts that. David is using this imagery in Psalm 68 of the victorious warrior returning from battle, and he's applying it to God as the liberator of Israel. God is pictured as descending from Mount Sinai, entering into battle on Israel's behalf, liberating his people from slavery in Egypt, and then later ascending to Mount Zion, where he receives gifts from his people. So that's like an Old Testament picture of someone, a mighty conqueror or warrior, descending to battle, winning the battle, taking his enemies captive, and then ascending to the place where his throne is. And in the Old Testament, the conqueror receives gifts. Now back to Ephesians. Paul is saying that what took place through the Old Testament exodus from Egypt and God's subsequent enthronement in Jerusalem is very similar to what took place through the work of Christ, with one exception. Christ also descended into battle. He led captivity captive and ascended to his throne in heaven. However, instead of receiving gifts at his ascension, Jesus actually gives gifts. And these apest giftings are not arbitrary. They emerge directly out of the cosmic battle between Christ and the enslaving powers of darkness. Through our newfound freedom in Christ, we are given the opportunity to represent Jesus' ministry through the fivefold expressions of apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Amen. So I thought that was a good picture. In the Old Testament, the people had to bring gifts to God. They bring lambs and bulls and doves and whatever they could afford. In the New Covenant, through Jesus' victory, he gives gifts to us. And those gifts are each other. So Leroy is a gift from Jesus to us all. Rachel, Jacob, Xavier, you are all gifts to us from Jesus. And Jesus has given you at least one of these five ministry gifts so that you can bless everyone else in this church and wherever you go throughout your life and ministry in the future. Amen. Because you are, each one of us is called to represent Jesus in a unique way. So here, so that's fairly brief teaching, I think you'll agree. What we're going to do now, any questions or comments from people before we move on? Because some of this stuff that I studied this week was new to me. I hadn't really thought about it that way. Any questions or comments from anyone before we move on to our small group discussion? Good. Well, we can, things may come up as we discuss. So what I've got is, I think I've got three discussion questions this week. And because if we believe that we're all gifted, we're all gifts from Jesus, the first question is, how easy do you find it to accept and welcome the way that God has created and gifted you without comparing yourself to other people? Okay, so the first question you're being asked to think about, do you understand that God's gifted you? Do you believe it? Is it a process? Do you struggle to believe that you are actually a gift from God to his body and to the world? Okay, so we'll unpack that one together. Second question, and we'll leave the screen up here. We can compare ourselves negatively with others. We can ignore others' gifts or recognize that we are all unique gifts that Christ has given to each other as his body. How do you see others? So really that question is describing three ways you can look at other people. And let's keep it to each other in the room. You can either look, you can say, well, I'm not as good as Jonathan in this area in my life. And so I feel a failure. I'm going to get into self-pity and self-criticism and condemnation and depression because I'm comparing myself negatively to someone who I think is better than me. Secondly, I can be so focused on myself, I'm not really bothered about anyone else here. I think I'm God's gift to mankind and the Lone Ranger syndrome, where I think I don't actually need, I'm so amazing, I don't actually need any of you. I'm going to be a mega pastor, you know, and, you know. so that is a false belief. And then the correct belief, I think we'd all recognize, is actually every believer, everyone who comes to Christ, is a unique gift from Jesus to us all, okay? And if I see you as a gift to me, then it's going to change the way I relate to you. If I see you as a threat to me because you're too good, you show me up, then I'm going to be jealous of you or envious of you. If I'm too self-centered, I'm just going to ignore you or look down at you or despise you. But if I have a healthy view, then that's how we get to experience Jesus' ministry. So we're going to discuss that together. And then in the third one, in your small group, say why you're thankful to God for each person and why they're valuable to our church family. So hopefully you'll leave here today feeling a bit more encouraged than when you came, because we've all got to encourage each other and say why we're thankful for you and why you're valuable. And then just for next Sunday, we're going to actually talk about what our fivefold ministry gifts are. So if you've never done a questionnaire that helps you work out, are you apostolic, are you prophetic, are you evangelistic, are you pastoral, are you a teacher, or some amazing combination of them, then if you've got this book at the back, there's a questionnaire for you to fill in. If you haven't got this book, there's one still going free on the front. Or you can go to fivefoldministry.com and you can do the survey online. Don't do it this morning while we're in the meeting. But if all of us could do that before next Sunday, because when we have our small group discussion, it will actually be good to know, well, actually, this is what I think, where my giftings may lie. It's because by the end of this six-week course, we all want to have a clearer picture of how Jesus has gifted each one of us and how we can work together effectively, like Jesus would, as a big team through the church. Amen. So I'm going to ask Forsyth if you would take a group, and let's see, we've got a few people away this week. And I think we'll go into two groups this week. So Forsyth takes one group. One, two, three, four, five, six. You don't have to stay the side of the church you're sitting. So if some people want to move to Forsyth, I'll lead a group this side, and Forsyth will lead a group this side, and we'll talk through these questions and encourage each other.